presidents, he always took his mom.
He's the all-American bullet-headed Saxon mother's son. Captain Marvel zapped him right between the eyes.
Zap! All the children sing.
Hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill. Hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill.
The children asked him if to kill was not a sin. His mommy betted him.
If looks could kill, it would have been us instead of him.
All the children sing.
Hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill. Hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill?
The Abbey Road crowd applauds cut six on side one of the Beatles' White Album. That's the continuing story of Bungalow Bill. Christy Krueger?
I love the continuing story of Bungalow Bill. I love all the kids and all the voices, everybody, all these characters singing. I really feel like it's sort of the introduction of these character voices where they're not singing as just a singer singing songs. They're these little characters. And I also love how the melody modulates from major to minor, and they do a really interesting tonality shift where the melody starts in the tonic and then actually the tonal center moves a minor third down, but shifts to major. I love the way they decided to end this song, and I feel like that started happening more often where the song doesn't have a clear end. It's sort of just kind of, I don't want to say that it collapses, but it kind of slowly just starts to organically fall apart. There's this disheveled whistling, almost like a car where like the hubcap falls off and then the license plate falls off, and it just kind of slowly happens.
And it's got the singing debut of Yoko on a Beatles record on the "Not When He Looks So Fierce" line.
Yeah, I just thought it was a really creative piece of music. I wasn't around in 1968. It still sounds surprising and creative to me today in 2008, so I can't imagine what it sounded like then.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You're listening to the White Album Listening Party, and next up, George Harrison's "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," and then John Lennon's "Happiness Is a Warm Gun." Steve Turner, I read in your book that each of these songs was born when each writer's eye was drawn to a phrase on a printed page. Isn't that right?
Yes. That "Happiness Is a Warm Gun" and "While My Guitar Gently Weeps" would be actually connected in that sense, that they both came from a random sighting of words on a page. In George's case, he was into the I Ching and the idea of randomness, and he just picked a book off the shelf of his mother's home and opened it at a certain page and saw this phrase "gently weeps" and just built the song around that phrase. John, "Happiness Is a Warm Gun" was actually a phrase taken from a gun advert, or an advert in a gun magazine, that caught John's eye. I think it belonged to George Martin and was lying around in the studio. and was based on the Charles Schulz happiness is a warm puppy phrase. And John liked the you know, he liked the fact that it had happiness and gun in the same phrase. He thought that that was a strange thing to use. But the song is actually made up of three different songs that were kind of started and not finished. You know, that became a technique they used quite a bit, actually using two or three, well, A Day in the Life, that used two or three unfinished songs and jammed them together.
I just love the structure of it, and by that I mean the fact that it has no structure. You know, it's essentially, you know, most pop songs are like A, B, A, B, C, A, B, or whatever. And Happiness is a Warm Gun is like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. You know, there's just these kind of disparate sections that really aren't connected to each other musically or lyrically. And it's kind of this bizarre pastiche of loose ends. And, you know, together they're definitely greater than the sum of their, you know, the parts.
Rob Martinez.
You also have that amazing piece in the middle with the Mother Superior Jump the Gun part, which has an odd time signature. Lennon was just really good at that. I don't know if he meant to be. I remember reading somewhere that Ringo Starr said that Lennon had terrible timing. So sometimes he would just play these weird offbeat time signatures like you hear on All You Need Is Love. But boy, they really work.
In the last section, it shifts into 3-4. And I wonder if, given what Rob was just saying, if that was intentional or inadvertent.
Rob Martinez, start us off on While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Well, this is obviously the centerpiece contribution by George Harrison to the White Album. There's a version out there, I think it's on the anthology or on Love. The acoustic demo of this song is really haunting and beautiful, and I love listening to that.
I look at you all, see the love that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps.
But this version has McCartney on piano, Eric Clapton on lead guitar, and what's wrong with that? It's a great song. Apparently, Eric Clapton was brought into the studio because at this time the Beatles were being quite bitchy, as George Harrison used to say, with each other. So he thought if he brought an outsider in, everyone would behave themselves. And true enough, when Eric Clapton came into the studio, everybody behaved themselves, and they played a pretty good version of this song. To me, it has a certain heavy metal quality, if I could say it, towards the end, almost getting us ready for the 70s. This big, huge arena rock type sound. Surely be learning.
She's not a girl who misses much. Oh yeah. She's well acquainted with the touch of the velvet hand, like a lizard on a window pane. The man in the crowd with the multicolored mirrors on his hobnail boots, lying with his eyes while his hands are busy working overtime. A soap impression of his wife, which he ate and donated to the National Trust. I need a fix, 'cause I'm going down, down to the bits that I left up. Cause I'm gone down. Mother Superior jumped the gun. 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 Mother Superior jumped the gun.
The White Album, side one, ending with Happiness is a Warm Gun and While My Guitar Gently Weeps Before It. What comes to mind, Suzanne?
So much of my relationship with this album was about each of the guys. So George was the shy Beatle that every girl wanted to take care of. And you just loved his voice and loved the song. It was so powerful. But John was like the creepy Beatle, you know, who was just, there was something wrong with him. And even as a kid, I didn't know what depression was. I just knew that this guy was really depressed. And the song was just so scary. A friend of mine told me that it really wasn't about sex. It was about shooting up heroin and, oh, it was like really creepy.
I think when you hear things like Happiness is a Warm Gun, you hear a little bit of back of their ripple effect coming back to them from the rest of the music world, with the grungy guitars and stuff where they had been so produced. And here you have a raw rock and roll sound as opposed to the more produced things you'd heard recently in Magical Mystery Tour and Sgt. Pepper's.
I think George Martin even left the sessions for 3 months or something and turned it over to Chris Thomas because I guess he wasn't being called on to do very many orchestrations or some of the things he had been asked to do in the past. This is the White Album Listening Party, about a dozen Beatle fans and musicians hanging out in our virtual basement here, re-experiencing the Beatles' 1968 collection of songs known as the White Album. I'm Paul Ingles. Side two starts with a jaunty Paul McCartney tune and then a languid John Lennon tune, Martha, My Dear, Then I'm So Tired. Steve Turner is the author of A Hard Day's Right, and he's on the line with us from London. Steve, what can you tell us about these two songs?
Martha, My Dear I think that sort of grew out of a Paul piano exercise. I mean, technically that's where it grew from. But he did have an old English sheepdog that was called Martha, so that gave the title. I mean, it wasn't a real girl, and it's certainly not a song about a dog. But I mean, that's that's where the phrase Martha came from. I'm So Tired again is a John song written out in Rishikesh. Mind you, he had written quite a few songs that alluded to tiredness in some way. I mean, he seems to have liked his bed in that way. But I think when they were out in Rishikesh meditating for sometimes 6 or 7 hours on end, and the fact that they'd escaped from all the you know, all the showbiz whirl in London, I think there was a kind of arrestedness more than the tiredness. But that's John talking about Rishikesh.
2, 3, 4. I'm so tired, I haven't slept a wink.
Christy Krueger, I'm So Tired is a favorite of yours, I hear.
I would actually say my favorite song ever if I had to pick one song and listen to it on repeat. I'm So Tired fuses these two different styles. One is this 50s pop ballad, almost kind of reminds me of Earth Angel a little bit. And I love the way he pleads, like he's, you know, shouting out to someone, give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind. And then he just lets that sentiment linger in the air. And also when they shift from this 50s pop feel to like a blues, like almost like a grinder sort of sound.
This is an example of a couple of times, at least on this album, where Lennon really does let loose vocally. Douglas Grant, you had something to say about Martha, My Dear.
Martha, My Dear is real essential Paul McCartney, extremely strong melodic gifts, coupled with lyrics that are, shall we say, not quite as deep as George Harrison and John Lennon were penning at that time. I don't think he's real comfortable with the kind of bare your soul kind of approach that George with in a spiritual and John with a very self-revealing tendencies would do, but he certainly made up for it with amazing melodies that just are impossible to forget. Great middle horn arrangements, horns and strings, and it's just a very well-constructed song and recording.
You know, McCartney has this knack for coming up with these riffs that, you know, when you play them and you figure them out, they're not difficult to play, but, you know, they're just strange. They're kind of counterintuitive, and they're instantly accessible.
Rob Martinez?
That first line, Martha, my dear, the intervals get you right away, and then he just doesn't let go of you. This is just another fun song that just makes you feel like the sun is shining when you listen to it.
Remember me, Martha, my love. is on the blink. I wonder, should I get up and fix myself a drink? No, 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 I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. I'm so tired, my mind is set on you. I wonder, should I call you? But I know what you would do. And curse the Walter Raleigh, he was such a stupid get. You'd say, put me on, but it's no joke. It's doing me harm, you know I can't sleep. I can't stop my brain, you know, 3 weeks. I'm going insane, you know, I'd give you everything I've got for little people.
That's I'm So Tired and Martha, My Dear, the first two tracks on side two of the four-sided 1968 release by the Beatles that came to be known as the White Album. We have lots more to hear, obviously, and when we reconvene, more from our gang we have here hanging out listening. That would be Scott McNichol, Luciano Urbano, Travis Parkin, Suzanne Kreider, Rob Martinez, John Spurney, Christy Krueger, Douglas Grant, David Gans, and Beatle author Steve Turner. My thanks also to John Oswick. Our engineer is Roman Garcia, helping us in the studios of KUNM in Albuquerque. I'm Paul Ingalls. Hope you can join us for the next hour of the White Album Listening Party.